You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for a short from this week's episode of Beeline, your 95BFM news podcast, delivering straight up news.
In last week's episode of our news podcast, Beeline, I spoke to festival organisers to get their perspective on the issues that they've had to face and what's next for their festivals. Over the past few years, a host of our festivals have gone on hiatus, wound down or threatened to wind down if things don't change. At the same time, the government announced a major events fund aimed at bringing in tourists, yet it has been criticised for overlooking these local events organisers after local festivals Splore were rejected from the fund and have since thrown their last festival. This is organiser of Splore, John Minty, and head of marketing at Om Festival, Rob Warner, discussing these events with me.
With festivals facing this tough moment at this point in time, spending is down, costs are up. In a case like this, could the government have done more to support Splore?
Yeah, I honestly believe that. I mean, I have been running my own companies for over 40 years. I'm not into handouts, and I believe that a private enterprise company, you take the risk, you know, you lose or you win. But having said that, with the struggles with all of our cultural things, you know, whether it's a live music venue or whether it's a dance troupe or a festival, particularly a festival like a Splore or an Om or a WOMAD, where they are actually very iconic cultural events. It's not just an international artist playing on a stage for a few hours and everyone goes back to a hotel. You know, these are communities that have been evolved. Like Splore has been going 28 years, so we're into three generations. So it's a massive cultural event. And I would argue that something like Splore, where we have a lot of non-commercial elements to our program, like our artwork, whare tapiri with the local iwi, our workshops for children, spoken word, all that's non-commercial. So I think those elements of a festival, which WOMAD have, I think have a good case to be funded. You know, the non-commercial, not so much money from the government to be able to afford an international artist to come down from England with all the money heads off overseas. Splore generates about $3 million. 90% of that goes to local community, all local contractors. Our international artist budget is relatively small, so we're pumping a lot of money into the economy. As I say, international visitors that come to Splore say this is the most amazing festival. So it showcases New Zealand, it showcases our indigenous culture. Why wouldn't the government want to support something like that? You know, they just put millions into, you know, sponsoring getting the surf tournament down to Raglan from Jay Bay, which I'm a fan of. I'm a massive surfer, so I don't have a massive problem with that. But they are spending millions to do it. And I'm thinking, well, hang on a minute. That's just one event at Raglan for surfing, which I love, don't get me wrong. But, you know, even a fraction of that amount of money for Splore would have probably had more impact in terms of international visitors and the impact on perception of New Zealand.
I've seen you speak in other interviews about this government fund that they launched this year, that you know, you mentioned the Raglan Surf. Another one that you brought up before was Linkin Park receiving subsidized $800 tickets. I'd love for you to speak on this here. How do you feel about that?
I think the government, I think it was a knee-jerk reaction. I felt there was some pressure from the industry that the government had to do something. The governments, state and federal in Australia, also in England, they have been providing good funding for festivals because they understand the importance of that culture. And I think the current government felt there was a bit of pressure to actually do something. And I think that the money, they had $70 million. And I think the events they supported, I think a lot of it had a bit of a political overtone to it. I don't think they thought it through in the sense that the money they were pumping in there wasn't going to attract international visitors. If that was the basis of the funding, there's not international visitors going to come to see Ultra in Wellington or Linkin Park in Auckland. I mean, they're doing shows all around the world, so where's the rationale there? I'm not bad-mouthing it. I think the government should support all those sort of events, but I think they needed to be a bit more selective. And they did, in fact, sponsor and provide money for a lot of cultural events. I think the Taranaki Light Festival might have got some funding, for example. So there were quite a few that did get funding, which I would have thought that's fine. But I think, you know, your grassroots festivals that are doing it hard because they don't have international backing. These are locally owned, entrepreneurial young people trying to make a difference and create a culture here. And all the money is going back into our local community. And I think they're the sort of events that government should be funding. And we've gone for central government funding before over the last few years, and we've never got it, which I find quite surprising.
There are people out there who would make the case that we wouldn't have as many artists and musicians were it not for the grassroots festival scene, giving them that space to grow and find an audience.
Yes, yes, and this is a point I've made many times before, is that the smaller grassroots events feed up into the music ecosystem by helping people get this experience or exposure, whereas larger events do not feed down. They don't support the small artists in any meaningful way. They don't support nurturing artists. They don't support the ecosystem. It is a financial transaction and consideration, and that's it. And that's why I always distinguish events into things that are arts and culture focused and things which are checkbook and balance sheet focused. And it's an important point to make that when you see large events crying out for money, they are not supporting grassroots culture or growth or new artists. And they leave all that heavy lifting to all of the smaller events who take larger proportional risks all the time. And they do it out of love for music and art. And at some point, if they start falling over, then you end up with bland corporate events only dominating the market space. And that's not good for anything.
How much of a personal financial risk grassroots organisers putting themselves at to host a festival if it doesn't go well?
It's a huge risk because, like I say, there's a lot of costs involved in doing a festival. Generally, they start in New Zealand like Sproul started. We all just got in together. We didn't pay ourselves any money. We got all our friends to help out. And that's pretty well the only way you can do it. You've got to make with a good PA. And that's why most underground festivals start. But then, you know, you might get a bit of demand and you sell a few tickets, and then you people go, well, I've done this for free for the last 5 years. Can I have some money now? And then it becomes a bit of a crunch.
That was Director of Sproul John Minty and Head of Marketing at OMM Festival Rob Warner discussing the events industry and their views on government events funding. This was just a clip from the 10th episode of our news podcast, Beeline. If you want to listen to the whole episode, where we speak in more depth to John and Rob, along with a host of other organisers, and check in on Twisted Frequency and what can be done to support it so it doesn't end, you can listen to this episode on 95bfm.com and our other 10 episodes.
Whew, that was short. That was a short from this week's episode of Beeline. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.